Burgos Garcia, a Spaniard, Abdul Waisit.
Names being read in front of MIT, a university tied to drone research.
Al-Mograbi and Abu Hazma Rabia. All these people were killed by our drones. Some are combatants, many are not. We estimate that a very, very large percent, some people say 90%, some people say a little under half, but many, many of the people killed by drones have nothing to do with the war against terror. The people who our government labels as militants are mostly just trying to get our government out of their countries. We will continue reading names and speaking out. Thank you very much for listening.
That was Susan McLucas, one of the organizers of this event. As names were read, people held up posters and large photos showing some of the civilian victims.
Salman, child. Abdus Samad, child.
Subrat Dagashroy is an MIT research associate. He was passionate in calling out MIT's role in drone development.
So one had thought that at the end of the Cold War, we would have a debate about our priorities, that whether we still would want to spend tremendous amounts of money developing new weapons that we would not need, especially after the collapse of the Soviet Union, and no peer competitor in sight. American defense budget is 12 times that of Russia, 5 times that of China. During the Cold War, right after the Second World War, actually there was very good science that was going on with the Pentagon support. And here, this great institution like MIT that developed technologies for radar and the internet and so forth are obviously byproducts of that support. But if you also look at how much money we have spent in this last 4, 5, 6 decades, it's over $1 trillion just on weapons, and there's actually very little to show for it. So in 1969, right here, Professor Noam Chomsky was speaking about ending the Vietnam War and MIT's role when MIT got the reputation of being an institution which was then called the Pentagon and the Charles, because of its then such strong connections. And now 20 years after the Cold War ended, we still have these strong connections. Nobody's talking about it. Here we go, we have such a tremendous problem with the climate. We have a problem with the transportation network in this country. Why aren't we having a Manhattan Project to solve these problems? Instead, we are continuing to do problems for drone technology. And there is a huge amount of money being spent, because this is what is called a growth area now in the Pentagon, in DARPA, who are pushing the technology for these unmanned aerial systems. So I would strongly urge that we demand from institutions like MIT openness and transparency in research, and then there'll be another day to debate whether why we are doing what we are doing. Thank you very much.
Subrat Dagashroy, speaking at the anti-drone rally in front of MIT.
My name is Eileen Kirkoski. I'm from Newton.
And you've come out here to MIT this afternoon. Why?
I did because I'm very concerned about how the drones are being used as weapons and unnecessary surveillance of innocent people in other countries and, unfortunately, maybe in our own country as well, perhaps even going on right now. We target MIT because of the traffic, but also we're very aware that they are one of the many campuses that are working on the development of these advanced systems for weaponry. They are doing some wonderful work with robots. There's a robotic museum just up the street. But I protest the killing and the surveillance without due process.
The MIT event was part of a nationwide coordination known as Spring Days of Action Against Killer and Spy Drones. This was a sight to behold as the 30-plus activists spread across the main entrance to MIT with their banners and placards. They even had a model drone hovering 10 feet above the speakout. There were lots of people passing by, many of whom stopped for more than several minutes to take it all in. One was an MIT alumni. I asked her what she thought of seeing this on the campus.
It's wonderful. I mean, if I had known, I would be standing with them, I think, because definitely the whole drone story to me is so cruel. And from what I could hear, it's actually fueling hate instead of being a secure way to defend anybody. And it's so unfair. All the children and all the civilians that are dying is, I mean, I don't know, it's revolting to me. It's revolting that anybody could accept to do that, just kill people from a room somewhere as if they were non-human. Yeah, I hope that actually all the students that are going back and forth will, you know, stay for at least 5 minutes if they're not aware yet.
So you just happened upon this by chance?
Yes, exactly. I did. And I chose to cross the street on purpose because I'm supposed to be on the other side, but I want to at least, you know, spend 3 minutes to be one more body that stands with these people who should be actually many more, you know, like I wish they were hundreds.
Now, once upon a time, we were told a fairy tale.
Nancy Murray is the education director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Massachusetts.
We were told it's the bad guys we are going after. And we always know who is at the other end of a missile sent on its way by the push of a button thousands of miles away because our intelligence is that good. Then we found out about signature strikes, those strikes in which any military-aged man found in a place the U.S. regards as suspicious could be zapped by a drone for being in the wrong place. And such a male would be considered a combatant. So we found out about signature strikes. Thanks to Edward Snowden's revelations and some courageous military whistleblowers, we now know that there is nothing human about the intelligence that decides who should be consigned to death by drone in the National Counterterrorism Center Disposition Matrix, which is where these decisions get made. Algorithms do it through an analysis of the vast NSA metadata collection. It turns out both JSOC, the Joint Special Operations Command, and the CIA use NSA metadata analysis to select cell phones to zap. It's cell phones we're killing. And if the wrong person is holding that phone or that suspect SIM card, what if it's in the wrong hands? Well, that's not our problem.
Shoya, child. Kaliula, child.
The main entrance to MIT, which is right on Massachusetts Avenue, attracts a lot of attention just by itself. During the rally, I spoke to tourists from Poland, Chile, and Germany, who just happened upon the event. They did not necessarily understand everything that was going on, but they did get the gist of it all.
Mashuk John, child.
I'm from Germany, and my English is not so good.
I don't know what you think of this.
I'm hearing and looking. It's interesting for me. For I'm USA is a real terrorist. That's good.
Well, it's not good, but it's good that they're pointing it out.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
We killed 1 million people in Iraq. We completely destroyed that country, and now we're killing people by the tens and twenties and dozens with these drones. We bear no shame. We don't think about it. We don't talk about it. But these are people all who've died. They've died terrible deaths way before their time. Abu Muhammad, Egyptian. Abu Kababa Amasari, Egyptian.
Joan Livingston talked about the specific case of Anwar al-Awlaki and his son, a 16-year-old American citizen killed by a drone strike.
The ACLU and the Center for Constitutional Rights brought a lawsuit because they knew the administration wanted to kill Anwar al-Awlaki, although he had been a spokesman to the prior administration on how to improve relations with the Islamic world. Suddenly he was a target, but the lawsuit was tossed out. He could not be saved. He died. So did his friend, Samir Khan. This boy, 16 years old, missed his father, went looking for him. 2 weeks after his father was murdered, this boy was at a picnic outside with his cousins and friends, doing something that anyone here might do on an ordinary day. A drone strike came down and killed him. He was born in Denver. the U.S. government originally said that he was a military-aged male, 21 or above, when in fact the birth certificate and all records from the U.S. showed he was only 16 years old. He had nothing to do with terrorism. He had a little Facebook page with his happy smile, and for some reason the government thought he was worthy of killing. There's been no explanation for this. There's been no explanation for why people in Yemen at weddings, Pakistan at tribal meetings, or at funerals have been killed. There has been no accountability and no transparency. At this point, the U.S. government, President Obama, has killed 4 U.S. citizens without charge, without trial, simply an execution. We don't get to hear about that. We need to demand that from this government. We need to demand that the few people on the Intelligence Committee who have asked questions about the drone program get our support, get through a bill for drone transparency, and stop this killing of people who are innocent.
Shoyab, child. Kaliula.
The campaign to end drone warfare targets drone bases and research facilities nationwide, which is why MIT was the location for this Eastern Massachusetts rally. For more information about the campaign or the effects of drone warfare on the so-called war on terror, visit nodrones.com. That's KNOWDRONES.com. From outside MIT, I am Chuck Rosina for Open Media Boston, leaving you with one last comment from organizer Susan McLucas.
I heard about one guy from Yemen who had studied in this country, and he went home and he told everybody what a great country this is. And all of his village was very pro-American because of what he told them. And then one drone strike came, killed a few of them, and now his whole village hates our country for obvious reasons.